Okay. So yesterday we discussed not the issue of nosin tam lifgam, which is the question of an edible food mixing with another edible food and making the and ruining the taste. But we discussed the question of a davar pugam mamish, something that's mamish and edible. Now we're going to go back to the Shulchan Aruch, to the siman of nosin tam lifgam, and discuss the halachos of and two edible foods, but one of which ruins the taste of the other. Says the Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph, we'll read again. Kaldar shetam o pogam eino osur tarofta. Anything that has a bad taste does not asur the tarofes. If a feeling tam o pogam is asur, even if it doesn't have an intrinsically bad taste, the asur mutam mushbach. It has a good taste, like wine and beans and other apple juice and expensive wine and whatever else you want to invent. Elisha pogam tarofto. Maybe it has a good taste. A good taste, Isra goes into a good tasting hatter, it just ruins that particular mixture. Then it is mutter. Mihu, however, adds the Ramah, a side point, dvarim chashuvim. He says, that's as far as taroves of tam. Remember, I mentioned a few times, when there's taroves, you have to check, is there an issue of tam or taroves of the en or both? So he says, when is there a heter nosin tam lefgam? The heter nosin tam lefgam is for the tam. But if there's a be'en, then there's no heter nosin tam lefgam. Isn't it be'en bottle anyway? Because yavish be'yavish bottle berov. So the answer is, yavish be'yavish bottle berov is not chashav. But if you're be'en, that is chashav, that's not bottle. Then there's no heter nosin tam lefgam. The heter is only for tam, not for ben. Therefore, he says, dvar machashuvim kebirya kiyotzva, birya chitihuilis kabe, things like that. Im enim pgumim ba'atzvam, if they're not intrinsically pogum, alfin shapogum and tavshel, even though their tam ruins the tavshel, enim etelim filu ba'elef, they're not batal afilu ba'elef. So if you have, right, let's say here you have a tavshel. And in the tavshil, you have a birya, right? Here's the birya, and here's the heter. So there's really two things going on here. As far as the ta'am of the iser in the heter, that's mutter, because the din of nosin tam lefgam. But as far as the be'en of the iser, there's no heter nosin tam lefgam on the be'en. Be'en is be'en. So therefore, the be'en of the iser is aser mishum shebirya ein of betela, and nosin tam lefgam doesn't help. That only takes away the problem, the tam of the bug going into your food. But the be'en is not batal unless the birya is actually inedible. Unless it's actually in a roi lachila. Unless it's actually in a roi lachila. Now the question becomes, what is that heter? What is the Ramah trying to tell us that if it's actually inedible, it is mutter? So here is not so clear. Right? What case is the Ramah talking about? What case is the Ramah talking about? There's actually three opinions as to what case the Ramah is talking about. Case is he talking about? One opinion is the Gra and the Prichadash. He's talking about a good tasting birya that got spoiled. Right? Actually, I don't have to. Ramah, what's the case? What's the reason it's mutter? So one pshat is the Gra and the Prichadash. They say the case is a good-tasting birya, like, I don't know, a good-tasting bird or something, right? A good-tasting birya that's spoiled. And why does the Ramah say in that case it's mutter? Because the iser turns mutter. Why does it turn mutter? Because it's in a Mele Shein Ri Lager. That's what the Gron Lepri Chadash say he's talking about. Right? He's not talking about bugs and disgusting things. He's talking about a good tasting berry that turned that got spoiled. A good tasting berry that spoiled turns kosher. Right? But according to them, right? But a bug is usher even though it's disgusting. That's the first shot. The mom wasn't talking about bugs. Of course bugs are usher. Oh, how come bugs are usher even though they're not fit for feeding a ger? Because it's exerus disgusting that bugs are usher. Now, the Torah said you can't eat a bug. Tough luck, right? The Torah said you can't eat a cockroach. Oh, ger, it's not fit for a ger. It doesn't matter. The Torah said not to eat it. Here it's about a hummingbird, which might be delicious, or some other, whatever you want to call delicious. You know, some bird that's delicious, and if it spoils, then it's mutter. That's the first shot. The second shot is the Aruch HaShulchan and others. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, the case is bugs. Bugs which are gross. You can't say turn mutter because it's gross. The Torah asks it even though it's gross. So what's the Chiddush? The reason it's mutter is because it's batal. Because a disgusting birya is not chashuv. That was where the Aruch HaShulchan got the whole idea of being makel at bugs or batal. So he says the Ramah's not talking about good food that's spoiled. He says the Ramah's talking about bugs. And since bugs are disgusting, they're not chashuv and they're not a birya. Okay, there's a third shita also, if you look in the... if you look in the Prima Gaddim, this is his, he quotes his shot in the Isser Heter.
How does he explain bugs being usher then?
They're usher, I'll be Xeris Akasif. It's like Xeris Akasif, they're usher even though
they're not in the category of burial.
Right, they're not in the category of burial because they're not chashuv. Okay, there's the Prima Gaddim quotes the interprets the Isser Heter as having a third shita. It's talking about a bug that got spoiled. A bug that got spoiled.
The inherently disgusting bug that got
yes.
spoiled? Yes. So already bad.
Says a bug that spoiled. Meaning you left the bug out in the sun and it got rotten.
The grow wouldn't agree to that?
No, the grow would say bugs, even they get spoiled, doesn't hurt them.
But this bird cheetah would agree to the grow.
Correct, exactly, precisely. And he says that this is bottle because it's not the form of birya that the Torah was machshiv. Says once the bug's spoiled, now it's bottle. That's not the form.
Well, not things from Malchus also.
What?
From Malchus also, it's a...
No, that's what's tricky about this. He admits that you still get Malkus, and he has to say that the Drabbanas were making the rice, that's like a tricky shita. But a regular bug is a birya even though it is disgusting. And I understand Ari's question. I'm not going to answer it now. I'll leave that for further Ion. So Lamaise, the three shitas what the Rambam meant. The Aruch HaShulchan says that he meant to be mekel on all bugs. That since bugs are disgusting, they're not a birya, they're batal. Or the Yisrael Hedder says maybe on spoiled bugs, which doesn't come up a lot.
What does that mean?
What? The bug died and was left out in the sun and got rotten.
You mean like, wasn't it already rotten?
So that's the chiddush. Everyone else would say, what's the difference? It was already gross.
I understand that. Like, so what, like, noticeably is different?
It smells. Like, bugs don't smell, do they?
I don't know.
Oh, I never smelled them.
Does a dead bug smell? A rotten dead bug smell?
Bonagid that it does.
You have enough of them. I don't know.
exact wine time.
Yeah, unclear. Okay. Anyway, the Lemaisa, so according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ramah is being very vehicle at all bugs are bottle. According to the Yisrael Hatter, at least he means that spoiled bugs are bottle, not that it comes up a lot. But according to the Grand Prichadash, he never meant any big kula. He just meant spoiled birds are mutter, which of course they are, because the Torah only meant to ask them in the Rebuti, unlike bugs. Okay, Halacha Lemaisa, the Pesachei Tshuva points out, that the Teferis Lamosha disagrees with Ramah, and the Panim Eros disagrees with Ramah. So number one, we're not sure what Ramah meant. Number two, do we paskin, or let's say like this, if Ramah meant a kula for bugs, do we paskin like him? According to the Gro, of course we paskin like him. He didn't say any chish. But according to those who say he meant a kula for bugs, do we paskin like him? The Aruch HaShulchan says yes. But the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Teferis Lamosha and the Shut Panim Meiros, who's saying no. So Lamai said, that's why this Ramah is not really a great kula for bugs. Because number one, there are three ways of understanding what Casey's talking about, and only one of the ways is talking about regular bugs. And number two, even if he is talking about regular bugs, the Teferis Lamosha actually understands like the Isser Hedgerway, and still disagrees with him. The Teferis Lamosha and the Panim Eros said, you don't pass like this Ramah. So therefore, it's hard to, that's why I said, it's hard to be smart and say bugs are bottle based on this Ramah, because number one, probably it's not what he meant, and if it is that what he meant, probably we don't paskin like him, and it's against all the Shulchan Aruch, which says you have to check for bugs, and that's why this Aruch HaShulchan was not as good a proof as he made it out to be.
Is the Aruch HaShulchan really saying this himself, or is he using this as part of the explanation as the defense? Of
He's using this as part of the defense, but he makes it seem like this is the real part. The other parts are like, this is the part that's really mochar. Although, again, we pointed out what he really meant, whether he meant as a defense or as a conclusion, is unclear. Okay, sif base. Pagamze ain't sar sheyifkom legamre etchi kotzlo achlo. Almost all Rishonim agree that notzin kan lefgam doesn't mean it ruins it legamre. Right, what was the example? The example they had was wine falls into beans. Again, I don't know exactly what kind of beans and what kind of wine and why it ruined them, but it seems reasonable enough. Right? It doesn't have to ruin it so that it's totally inedible and gross and you throw it in the garbage. Agav, we're not means this now. There's a sheet of the Ra'ah that says Nosan HaMufgam means that it ruins it legamre. But that's very hard to defend. That's not what it sounds like in the Sukkis. We are not choshish for that at all. We assume like all 90% of Rishonim, like Mechaber says, Ein Shor Sheif Legamre Yad Sheyikotz Lo Achlo Ela Afilo Pogin Tzas Eino Oser Tarovto. Even if it's just a small pgam, it doesn't answer the tarubis. Meaning, let's say it was like tasty on the level scale 1 to 100, was tasty 83, and now you mix in this isser and it's only tasty 82 on the taste scale, that's nosin tam lefgam. It made it taste worse, even just a tiny drop worse. Right? That is, again, the Ra'ah disagrees with that, and then he has trouble explaining things. You'll look inside in the Rambam Kabbalah if you want to see how it works out. But this is the mainstream psak. Now, the real question is why? This is the real question. Why? If we have Isser Shepogim Tarov Tok Tsas is Mutter. But why? Remember, I told you yesterday, what was the Makor for Nosan Tam Lefgam? Nevelu She'en Ruli Ger, something inedible. How do we get from something inedible to something that makes the Tarovis a little worse? Like, it's still edible, right? And a wine falls into my beans. And the beans used to be super tasty. Now they're moderately tasty. So it's mutter, even though Yayin Esach fell in. And even though the Yayin Esach was 3%, 4%, 5%. Why? After all, it's still edible. So this is a famous machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran. And they go in two different directions. Says the Rashba... He says, really, you know why it's mutter? It's not mutter directly because of Nail Sheena really care. It's mutter because of Bitzel Barov. It's mutter because of Bitzel Barov. Right? Mutter because of Bitzel Barov. That's the real engine that's driving the Heter. Ah, Ari Brandwein will jump up and say, what do you mean Bitzel Barov? You can't have Bitzel Barov when you have Nesina's Tom, right? Says, you know what we learned from the Veil Shemini Ger? Just like a food that's not edible doesn't count as a food, a Tom that is blank doesn't count like a Tom. But you can't call a Tom not edible, because like a Tom is not a thing. A Tom is more of an effect. So therefore, we have to like translate and make a parallel. Just like a food that's not edible is not a food, a Tom that's not improving the taste is not a Tom. Okay, that's mutter because of Bitzel Barov, and there's no problem of Nesimas Ta'am because a Ta'am that doesn't improve the taste is not a Ta'am. Now I understand that's a stretch, that's a Chiddush. Just because a food that's not good for eating is not a food, who says a tam that doesn't improve taste is not a tam? But it's not crazy. After all, what is a tam? A tam means that it adds to the taste. If it doesn't add to the taste, then it's not a tam. And that's what the Rashba says. Tam lefgam is not a tam, and once it's not a tam, it's mutter because of Bitzel Barov. That's the chap of the Rashba. Right? Once there's no tam, then there's Bitzel Barov. That's the chap of the Rashba. The Ran has a different chap. Says the Ran, he says, and what are we really learning? What is the limud minaveila? For the Rashba, just like not good for eating is not nevela. Tom, not good for improving the food, is not Tom. Okay. The Ran has a different approach. The Ran says the Yesod is Handa. Says, what do we learn? Just like nevela is mutter, if there's no hana'ah from eating it. He says, what's the principle of the Veil Shinin really Ger? If you're not nana from eating it, it's not a chetzer shalisser. Likewise, this isser is mutter, if there's no hana'ah from having it in your tarufis. The principle is hana'ah. Why is it mutter to Veil Shinin really Ger? Because you're not nana from eating it, so it's not treif. The wine falls into my beans, and it used to be super tasty, now it's moderately tasty. Am I nana from eating the wine? No, I'm sad that I'm eating the wine, because I would have been happier not having the wine. So says the Ran, it's mutter because you are not nehene from the presence of the isser. Why are you not nehene? Because it tasted better without the isser. So you're not nehene from the presence of the isser. You say, oh, it's so annoying this isser is here. I wish I wasn't eating this isser. It's not the end of the world, but you're not nehene from eating this isser. Okay, those are two, and really there are two nafkaminas between them. Potential, at least, nafkaminas between them. What are the two potential nafkaminas between them? I'm not saying the Dharmukh. If you want to get out of the nafkaminas, I know you can.
If it improves the Torah, what's the different way?
Exactly. So nafkamina one. And what's the different way, of course?
Significant in our
growth.
Exactly. What if wine falls into my beans and the taste is a little less, but I have an ounce more food? So, you know, sometimes I'm then, I'd rather have more food that doesn't taste as good than less food that does taste as good. Not so crazy, right? The apple juice, an ounce of apple juice
falls into a glass of expensive wine, clearly I'm not Nene. I lost out by having the apple juice in here. But, you can imagine that's apple juice and very expensive wine. Let's say you had apple juice and the kind of wine I drink, Moscato d'Asti. So, I had like 12 ounces of Moscato d'Asti, and in falls 11 ounces of apple juice. Or even 5 ounces of apple juice. So it doesn't taste as good, but you know what, it's pretty good. It's not the end, you know, it tastes more or less like apple juice anyway. And now I'm happy to have more of it, right? Now I can quench my thirst. So, that's enough Camino. What if you benefit from added quantity more than you lose from the bad taste? Right? Lamaisa, you're not so mefunak. And you'd rather have 12 ounces that doesn't taste so good than 10 ounces that does taste good. So according to the Ran, this should be usser. But according to the Rashba, this is mutter. Why? According to the Rashba, hold on a second. It's batel berov unless it gives the sinas tam. And it's not called the sinas tam. Who cares what you benefit from? Lamaisa, once it's a bad taste, there's no sinas tam, and then it's batel berov. According to the Ran, we all care if you benefit, and here you benefit.
So that's a clear enough gemina.
Says the...
I think the whole quantity is not an improvement.
What?
Specifically when the Rashba talks about improvement, it means improvement in time.
Yes, specifically time, because within the realm of time. Right? Let's say better.
Could you say that time is...
One second. Way. Here, I'll change one word. Right, we're not talking about food, we're talking about taste. Right, a tam that doesn't make a better taste is not a tam, according to the Rashba. So there's no tam. If there's no tam, it's batel berov.
So you can't say a tam that doesn't make an improvement is not a tam?
No, because the whole point is we're talking about the realm of tam, not the realm of food. That's the chap of the Rashba, like separate out the food and the tam. So that's the classic nafkamina. Now the first half of this machaber, it's unclear, may or may not be a nafkamina. What if... We need room for a few more nafkaminas. Let's continue it here. Rashba. Ran. Right, maybe an afkamina. What if you had rove iser and miyod heter? According to the Rashba, but it was no satam lufgam. According to the Rashba, what would it didn't be, obviously? Usser or mutter?
Usser.
Because it was all based on bitl rove, right? Obviously, usser. According to the Ran, yesh l'ayin. Because you would think that, well, as long as you're not benefiting, maybe it's not usser, or maybe he'd say no. Still, if the rove is isser, then you don't look at, then you say you're eating an isser. You don't look at it in terms of the effect that it has on something else. But for the Rashba, it's definitely isser. For the Ran, I am going to leave that now. You could see it in different ways.
Right.
Meaning, for the Ran, you could say, well, let's say 3 ounces of tray fell into 2 ounces of isser and ruined the taste. You could say for the Ran, well, still, you would rather have had 2 ounces with a good taste, so you lost out, so it's not nah, nah. Or you could say, no, since the Iker is Isser, just look at it as eating the Isser. Don't look at it as what it did to the Heter. So that's Sarhiyah.
Why
did
Masarhiyah Rashba?
Because you have no Bittel Roof. You have no Bittel Roof. Who cares if there's Tom or not? Right? So clearly, we'll see another Nafkamina in a second. The Prim Gavim thinks there's another Nafkamina, although the Machaber thinks he's wrong. But let's mention that in a second. Here I am. Says the Mechaber, he starts out, and based on the Ikra din, he holds like the Rashba. That's why he starts out with the discussion of Rove. What does he say? V'yesh misha omer, d'haynu davken, if he says yesh misha omer, I don't know, it's unclear, is that someone else would argue or not? Unclear. Right? So I'll leave this as a question mark. But what does he say? He says, Yesh misha omer d'haynu davka, but he's definitely quoting the Rashba here. Yesh misha omer d'haynu davka, shenis arim isher, isher mua im heter mir ruba.
one second.
This is, when is this der Hetlos Tam Lufgam? If it's Rove Heter, Mir Isser, then it makes sense. It should be Batal Barov except for the time. The Rashi says, Nos Tam Lufgam takes away the time and it's Batal Barov. Avil Isser Merubal Toch Heter Buach, but if it's mostly Isser and only a little Heter, Filo Metzal Metzer, even if it's half and half, ain't over Nos Tam Lufgam Lufter. Then we can't not use Nos Tam Lufgam Lufter because you don't have Batal Barov. Actually, if Gomagami should have run like a lot, unless it's totally ruined and inedible, in which case it turns Lufter. But that's not Nos Tam Lufgam. You can't say Nos Tam Lufgam. So that's the principle. We clearly hold this way. You can't say no sin tam lufgam if it's rove isser. You don't say rove sin tam lufgam if it's rove heter.
Could mechza be more of a nafkamina.
You could see mechza al mechza being more, perhaps more of a nafkamina. Right? So, or mechza al mechza. Right? Or mechza al mechza. I totally agree with Daniel that even if the round might be makkel rove heter, it might be more odds he'd be makkel a mechza al mechza. Right? You know, more odds that it's mutter and mechza al mechza. Okay? But here's an interesting case. What if you don't have a quantity of isser, quantity of heter? You just have a plate of from isser. Then ain't shama mushal shal isser, time obil vad. Like, what if you have a 3-ounce piece of ham that fell into 2 ounces of whiskey? And the tom went out, but the tom was bad for whiskey. So do you say it's rove isser, 3 ounces of ham? Or do you say, no, you took out the 3 ounces of ham. They're just plata. That's not a quantity. So elatai milvad, afilu isser rove heter buat, motor and pogin tzas. Okay, what is he paskin? If you have a 3-ounce ham soaking in 2 ounces of whiskey and ruin the taste of the whiskey, even though there are 3 ounces of ham and 2 ounces of whiskey, it's still mutter. Because even though the 3 ounces of ham has 3 ounces worth of taste, it doesn't have 3 ounces worth of quantity. After all, you threw the ham out. You took the ham out and threw it in the garbage. Only the taste of the ham went in. And the taste of the ham is still batel barov, because the taste of the ham doesn't have bulk. Right? The plate that came out of the ham had tam. Okay, but tam is lufgam, doesn't count. But the plate that came out of the ham doesn't have bulk. It doesn't have quantity. It doesn't have massive volume. I mean, maybe a tiny amount, but not a significant amount. And therefore, it's no problem. V'yesh v'shechochech lomar, some are machmer to say, this is the Ran, so he brings the Ran as yesh v'shechochech lomar, shim higdil, meaning he's not sure about the Ran, he's just bringing it, shim higdil isser midasar shal hetar, shemashviach yosuk sha'oklev gom midasar mashu pogim hefzatam, mo nafkamina one. If, when the isser fell in and increased the quantity, and you get more benefit from the increase in quantity than you lose from the ruining of the taste, asr achipa yipasal machalachaladam, it's asr unless it becomes totally inedible. Anything totally inedible is mutter. Just keep saying that, but we know that already. Okay, that is the nafgamina between the Rashi and the Ran. So what does he say here? Basically, he implies that yesh mi shechochech lomar, he doesn't explicitly say, but we don't hold that way, but the main yeshama is not that way. So l'chor, we are machmir on this. We're machmir, like the Ran on this. He's not sure, yesh mi shechochech lomar. He's not sure, but l'chor, we are machmir, like the Ran. That's the kavana of the mechaber. So we're machmer on all these nafkaminas. Here we say aser. Here we say aser. We take the chumras of the Ran, even though it sounds like the Ikra Dini holds more like the Rashba. The Prima Gadim suggests, agav, another interesting machlokis between the Rashba and the Ran, which is not so machrach. But can anyone think of an area in halacha where we don't use bittel barov? When we don't say bittel? Chametz on Pesach. So what about nosin tam lefgam? Nosin tam lefgam, right? In chametz on Pesach. How about chametz on Pesach? What would the Rashba say there? Remember, the Rashba says it's based on bittel barov. And don't worry about the tam, because it's tam lefgam. What would you think the Rashba should say about chametz on Pesach? He should say it's usher, there's no bits of a row. Usher. Because there's no bits of a row. And what should the Ran say in Chametz on Pesach? The Ran says, well, if you're not nana from it, it's mutter. Well, Chametz on Pesach, let's say the Chametz was so spoiled that you're not nana from it. It would be mutter, right? So the Ran should say mutter. That's what the Prima Gadim here suggests, right? Because the Ran Svar would apply even to Chametz on Pesach. But the Rashba Svar would not apply to Chametz on Pesach. That's not so Pashuk, because it's Machlokas, Machaber, and Ramah. Any Svar in here? Okay. Halacha L'maisa, the Machaber paskins the Kula. So it... Pashup Shad is he thinks that both the Rashi and Rama would be Mekel. Rama paskins Lachumra. Lemaisa, we paskin Lachumra on this, Ashkenazim at least. We paskin Lachumra that no Santam Lufgam is Asar and Pesach. And that's one of the reasons that Pesach is so Chumr. Because normally all year long you cook something in a treif pot. No big deal. No Santam Lufgam is Einu Ben Yomo. On Pesach, even Einu Ben Yomo is a problem. Because there's no Heter No Santam Lufgam. No Santam Lufgam is Asar and Pesach. Which is why Pesach is so chomer, even if you take out a chametz kli that wasn't used for 3 months, and you use it for your Pesach food, it makes your Pesach food chametz thick, even if it's less than a 60th. So that's what, that's the main, one of the biggest chomers of Pesach. Okay, so the Prima Gadim suggests this is also enough community in the Rashba and the Ran, but certainly Yesh La'ayin, because you could say even the Rashba, it's not that there's no Bittul Beruv on Pesach. It's that there is Bittul Beruv on Pesach, there's just Machmer in certain cases. Okay, continuing in the Mechab. Yes.
The fact that we're Machber in Nafkumina 1, does that mean that we never rely on Nosatam Lufgam unless it's, we're just talking about Plater?
No, even if the Isser melts in, as long as it's a Miot. It's Batal Barov. Right? Let's say I have...
If you don't have... If you do have Batal Barov, then you can rely on it?
That's the Mechab of the Rash, right? As long as you have Batal Barov. In a pleita, though, even if the Isser was bigger, you can still rely on Nosan Ham Lufgam. Because the Isser didn't really go in, it just gave a taste.
I thought it was going to be Machmeh for the Ram.
What?
I thought it was going to be Machmeh for the Ram.
And therefore?
And therefore, why would the Ram help?
Oh, no, as long as you didn't put in so much Isser that you benefit from the additional quantity.
But did we always, I mean, how much?
No, because let me give you an example. Let's say I had expensive wine, 12 ounces. And in it falls 1 ounce of apple juice. So the additional 13th ounce of wine is much less of a benefit than the ruining of the taste.
Really? I mean, the ruining is so small. Isn't it always...
Are you kidding? You get someone who's a wine connoisseur, and you buy $100 bottle of wine. You know, there are such things.
Yeah.
And you pour in apple juice. You know how much that bottle of wine is worth now? Even though it's bigger, it's more wine. Right? It's worth about, I don't know, $8? You've ruined the wine.
So when would we be machmeh for the Ram?
It's a case where it's worth more with the additional quantity, even though it has a bad taste. Like for example, I have.
Is it subjective?
Juice? No, it's in the shot. It's in the shock. You have to figure out what gives a bad taste to juices, but. You can imagine that, let's say I have cheap wine, and I pour in a little apple juice, right? So now it doesn't taste as good, but you know, it's better, because now I have more wine. So that might be a case where, weird. Now, let me just be very honest with you. I'm not such an old person, but I'm not such a young person either. I've been a rabbi for a couple of decades, and I never got any shilas having to do with any of these cases. I'll be honest. I never got any shayla or paskin based on the fact that you mixed kosher and treif, but the kosher gives a bad taste to the treif gives a bad taste to the kosher, so it's okay. So I never actually got into these cases. So I can't give you everyday occurrences. I'm sure there must be something that happened once between the however many of us. Honestly, the whole application of Nosan Tam Lufgam in real life psak is really in a cliche in a binyomo. Not in actual mixtures of foods. That hardly ever comes up. But theoretically, it could. Okay, and there's one interesting discussion, the Shach here, which, if you look in the Prima Gadim, there's a lot of misunderstandings to what he's talking about. The Shach discusses, in Simchat Beis, Dover She'enu Nosin Tam Lo L'Shvach V'Lo Lifgam. What if something gives a taste that's neither good nor bad? Neither good nor bad. It's just different, right? Remember when we learned to be kalutically correct? Not better or worse, just different. Right? So what it gives a taste that's not better or worse, just different. I don't know, the wine falls into the vegetable soup and it doesn't taste better, it doesn't taste worse, it just tastes, well, maybe different. So the Shach says in this case,
that it is usher. The question is, what does he mean? There are two ways you can understand to say I cheapened. Eino nosin tam lo l'shvach l'lufgam. You can understand that in one of two ways. What are the two ways you can interpret Eino nosin tam lo l'shvach l'lufgam?
It doesn't give a taste at all.
It doesn't change the taste at all, or it changes it, but it's not better or worse, just different. Right? Those are two different cases. Clearly, at some point, the shach switches to talking about that second case. But halacha lemaisa, if you look in the Pirkei Avot, he summarized the achronim, we paskin, or there are different opinions about those two different cases. The...
Isn't this like a case we had with Gid and Usher already?
Yes. Oh, you mean with the melted Gid and Usher?
Yeah,
exactly. Just Chazar. No. So, but the question is, did the shach start out talking about that case or not? So what did the shach mean? What are the two types of lo lishvach v'lo lifgam? One type is not better or worse, just different. In that case, the achronim agree that it's usher. You can't call that notes in tam lifgam. The achronim agree that that's usher. Right? All the achronim agree that that is usher. The second case, as Teski reminds us, we already dealt with that in Simon Kof, in Birya, because Gidon Usher is a Birya, so it came up Agav Orcha, is it gives no taste. Just, what do you mean it gives no taste? Well, here, actually, there are different things that give no taste. There are different kinds of things that give no taste. So one thing that is discussed here in the Piskei Tshuva on this Hashach is it gives no taste. And what's the case it gives no taste? Let's say a dried up treif that just sits there and emits no taste. That the Piskei Tshuva says, well, this gets a little tricky. The Prima Gaudim discusses this. The a dried up food that has no taste, this is fundamentally mutter. Why? Because it gives no taste. What's the problem? But machlokes achronim, if it gets rehydrated, or so let's say a little better. A dried up treif. That turns inedible. So that, everyone agrees, is fundamentally mutter, but machlokes achronim, if it turns usher again when it is rehydrated. This was the machlokes about gelatin that we discussed in Simon Pei Zayin, right? Chazar of Pei Zayin. What if you have something that's dried up and inedible and then gets rehydrated, right? So that is a machlokes achronim. This is the Simon Pei Zayin gelatin machlokes. Then there's the third case, which is, why does it have no taste? It has no taste because it never had a taste. What never had a taste? That's treif. Pesky?
Gid
hanashe.
Or bone.
Gid hanashe. Atzamos. Kashos. Right? Hard bones, clearly never had a taste.
right? Never had a taste. So, if it just sits there, or let's say, if it says no taste, it never had a taste. If it is didn't melt in, that's pasha mutter, because it didn't give a taste, right? That's pashat mutter. If it was mimoach, if it melted in, that was the machlokas we saw earlier, Hazar from Daf Kof about Gir Hanasha, which he quotes here also, right? If it's mimoach, it melts in, but it doesn't give any taste. So if it's mimoach, this is a machlokas, right? Remember we saw the Mechaber in Simen Kof, and the Taz in Simen Kof, and the Shach here, well, is he very explicit? He seems pretty explicit. The Shach in Simen Kof Gimel say Aser, but we have the Rashba in the Taz there, and some Achronim, which Achronim are they? I think it was the Crazy Placey. And someone else. One second. He quotes the Rashba. And there were some Achronim who agreed with the Rashba there. Let's see if I can find it quickly. Here we are. The Prichadish and the Crazy Placey. Oh, yeah, it's quoted in the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, in the Ish Das. Right? The Prichadish. And the Rabbi Kiva Eger here quotes the Eish Das and the Crazy Placey, and the Eish Das say it's mutter, at least the Makom, Hefzid, etc. So that is a big machlokas. So if you're talking about Eino Notz and Tanu L'Shvachul of Gam, if you mean it gives a very interesting taste, it's just not better or worse, it's just different, then we agree that's Aser. That's considered a real taste. If you mean it was a good food that dried up and now has no taste, then theoretically it should be fine now because it has no taste. But now that it gets soft again, does it go back to being usher? That's a jump in machlokas from Beis Zayin. And if you mean it's something which fundamentally doesn't have a taste like you get a nusha, so if it just sits there, then it doesn't emit any taste, that's okay. But if it melts in and doesn't have a taste, that we saw was a machlokas, that's like a literal case of something that melts in and doesn't have any taste. So the Mechabra and the Shach and the Taz, and we would normally Paskin say Usser, but there are those who say Mutter. Yes.
Does it automatically make everything taste worse because it's more diluted now?
Doesn't automatically make everything.
What does it mean? Strong.
Yeah, I'm not sure diluted is always. It's interesting. Why don't you say diluting is either better or worse? Some things are better diluted, different. Some things are worse diluted. That's a great question.
Maybe it's too insignificant to detect.
That is a great question. Wouldn't it dilute it if it melted in?
Right.
Not if it just sat there. But if it melted in, wouldn't it get diluted? And wouldn't that be either better or worse? Some things are good diluted, some things are bad diluted. And yet, that's not what anyone said. That's a great question. Okay, I'm going to leave that to Sarkia. We'll have to talk about it during Seder.
How much are we like this hand in like an objective versus subjective like flavor standard?
That's a great question, because after all, Altan Varech. Altan Varech. You don't know modern Hebrew Pitkarim? Altan Varech Ein Lehit Vakech. Meaning, taste is subjective. Right? You can't argue. So, that's a great question. What if it tastes good to some people and bad to other people? Then how do you decide Tam L'Fgam and Tam L'Shvach? That's not before in the post. My assumption is you would go by most people, not by the owner. In a real life case, I'd be very nervous.
That could answer a question.
Right. Yeah. I hear that. I hear that.
And maybe for Tumah, it's more formal.
Right. Okay, let's leave that. I hear the Taina. I'm just not sure. The Yachronim don't sort of discuss it that way. So we'll have to leave that a little bit sort of for now.
Doesn't it make sense, like, when you bring it to Kvela also, it's like, each
that's interesting. You ask the Kvela if it's the Shvach or the Fgam, theoretically back in the days of Kvela. That's what it said in Simen Tzadi Ches, if you recall. We said, oh, we'll understand this
word later, but it said ask the Kfela's, so that's only the Kfela's opinion. So unless you, yeah, it's a good question.
Have objective standards, like industry standards that he's applying.
Yeah. If he's a real Kfela, but we said it didn't have to be an actual Kfela, right? It could even be a regular person. Being,
like, if I tasted the taste of fish or something, and I don't like fish, but I can tell you that. I don't
yeah, I like guess fish. That's the thing. You would ask him, like, what would most people, you know, what would you say serving it in a chasana, not what he himself thinks. Yeah, l'chora, that's the answer. Okay, continuing in the Machabri said, when is there a heter of pagam? If it's pagam from the beginning to the end, but it could change in the middle. How could it change in the middle? For example, the Gemara has an example. Some things are pagam. Which direction was which in the example of the Gemara? Yeah. Well, the wine and the beans is a pagam when it's hot, but it's a shvach when it's cold. So it was first cold, then got heated, or first hot, then cooled off, or we'll see later on, some things are shvach when there's salt and a pagam when there's no salt, or vice versa. So what if then you added salt? Right? So what if it changed from shvach to pagam? So the answer is, if it's shvach and then turns into pagam, it's usser. And if it's pagam and then turns into shvach, it's usser. So meaning, once it's shvach, it's usser forever, even if it turns into pagam. Right? So what's the case? If here you have 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So if at 1 o'clock it's pagam, 2 o'clock it's pagam, then it's mutter. If at 1 o'clock it's shvach, 2 o'clock it's pagam, too bad, it's usser forever. Once it's shvach, it's usser forever. What if at 1 o'clock it's pagam and 2 o'clock it's shvach? Then we say it's usser. When is it usser?
Only
it's only usser at 2 o'clock, meaning you don't have to predict the future, right? It is usser from 2 o'clock on. So it says Rabbi Akiva Eger, what do you do if you have this situation? Right now you have a nosing tam lifgam, but you know it's going to become shvach. So, what does Rabbi Akiva Eger say? He says, oh, easy. Just quickly add till you have shishim. It's not mevatel nosach chachila, because right now it's mutter. So therefore he says that's a trick you can use. If you actually have, let's say, these beans, it's hot now, and it's lifgam, but you know as soon as it cools off it'll be lishvach. So quickly, add more beans till you have shishim against the iser while it's still hot, and then you're okay. Because not pedulus l'chachila, it's mutter. It's l'heter. Again, not that these come up in real life. Says the Ramah, Yesh omrim, afa gav she iser nosentam lefgam v'machol mutter, even though, let's go back to this example of the wine and the beans, right? The Gemara has the example that the yayin nesach, the treif wine in these hot beans is lefgam. So the food is mutter, right? As long as you eat it hot. Mikol makom hakadeira asura, but the pot is asur. Why? Vim bishlo b'achar tochmei isla eis tavshel iser rishon osu l'antam l'shvach nesar tavshel l'sheinu lo yobol shishim neged iser arbisho. Says why? Because he's not saying why. He's obviously saying why. He's not saying the word why. But he's explaining why. Because the wine still went into the pot. And what if you cook something else in the pot that wine makes a good taste in? Then it'll be treif. Right? So basically now you have a pot, it absorbs wine mixed into beans, which is heter. But if you cook more beans, it'll be okay. But if you cook more, what's wine good for?
Chickens.
You cook chickens in your pot, then the chickens will be treif because the wine will give them a good taste. And therefore the pot's treif, because any pot which if you cook some things will be treif, is usser. Because you might cook those things, right? Even though you'll say, maybe I'll only cook things that wine is bad for. No, you're not going to remember to do that. You're going to end up cooking things that wine is good for, and therefore we make gzeira. That's the psak of the Ramah. Now, let's just chazan's Ramah for a second. What does the Ramah say? At 1 o'clock, I have the yayin into the grisim. Whatever they are.
Is the gzeira so strong that even if you do cook something that is mashbia, it's going to still be aser?
What do you mean? Something that's mashbia? That's aser
miyaker?
No, only lachafila. I'm yayin to grease him into the gzeira. So this is mutter. This is mutter. But, meaning theoretically mutter. Right? Because the kedera only has a tam of a mixture of grisim and yayin. That's tam lefgam. But what will happen is at 2 o'clock,
if in this kedera you then cook, what do we say, basar? Yain is good for basar? Yeah, yain is good for basar, right? People always, my wife always puts wine in the roast, or in the something. Then, this will be asar, because this is pogame uvasof mashbiach. First it was pogim the grisim, but in the end it was mashbiach the chicken. And because of that, we treat this kedera as usher. As usher, because you might cook meat instead of grisim in it.
Why don't we assume that all the bleels are mixed yayin and grisim bleels, and if they're all bad, because the yayin will always make the grisim worse?
But the yayin can still make the...
Even though it has grisim.
You're saying even the machaber says...
You're saying grisim are present, and shouldn't they make the wine bad, and therefore the wine should be...
No, grisim doesn't make wine bad. Wine makes grisim bad.
Okay, sorry, I said that wrong. Right, together.
So the wine makes the grisim bad, but the wine makes the chicken good.
And the
but I'm saying this, maybe bad grisim doesn't have much of an effect on meat, but wine has a good effect on meat.
So meaning the good wine will still... Like, the fact that the wine is present will still make meat better, even though it's messy enough. You know,
yes,
And we never know how much beans went into the pot.
Right, now, of course, Bindi Eved, it's mutter if the meat is 60 times what?
The wine.
You don't need 6 times the grisim, because it's no chanat, the grisim or mutter, right? You need 6 times the wine, which is what the Mechaber just said. Shishim neged ha'isra rishon. Right, the nosa can't find out. You don't need shishim neged the grisim because there's no chanan. There's only chanan if something's treif. There's no chanan in kosher food. All right, so therefore, asur, unless it was 60 times the yayin. Right, you don't need 6 times the grisim, just times the yayin. But still, since there's potential for isur, then we call that kdera totally asur. Now here comes the more controversial part of the Ramah. Ready? The Ramah says that's because here you don't have a heter of knot bar knot. The yayin into the pot is one knot. And the second knot into the basar is already isura. But what about the following case, says the Ramah? Avolim nira tafshel risha v'kaf v'toch v'chakakaf v'tafshel shein yishigam king pogeng. Lo nesra kedera. What about this case? Here's the case of the Ramah. You have yayin into grisim into the kaf. And the kaf goes into a different grisim, right? Which are then cooking in a pot. Right? And then, right? This happens at 1 o'clock. This happens at 2 o'clock. And then at 3 o'clock, you cook meat in that kedera. Says in this case, the meat is mutter, and therefore the kedera is mutter. Why? Why is it mutter in this case? Because the calf is a not the hetera. The grisim is not barnat the hetera. The kedera is, well, he doesn't say explicitly. He doesn't say explicitly. That's not fair, actually. But, let's say better. Sorry, I'm going to take this back for a second. Because there's a lot of steps to the kedera here. Yayin into grisin into kaf into grisin into kedera. This kedera is already not bar not the hetera. If the kedera is not bar not the hetera, why is it a hetera? Because it's no satam of kam. If it's not bar not the hetera, then the basar is mutter, and therefore the kedera is mutteris. Then it's no problem. Because the kedera is already not bar not the hetera. That's the psak of the Ramah, which everyone agrees with. That's not controversial. Fakdeira is not Barnat Deitera. Right, after all, it's probably, it's like a million steps already. We'll see exactly how many we count it as. It's not Barnat Deitera. And therefore, if you cook Basar, it's Mutter, which means the Kedera is Mutter. Right? Because whatever you cook, it'll be Mutter. It's already not Barnat Deitera. The Taz jumps all over the Ramah. Because he says, you have too many steps. He says, you have too many steps. He says, really, you need less steps than this. Says the, what about the following case? What about the following case? The case is, the case is this. What if you just have yayin into kaf? Into Greason, into Kedera, and then into the Basar, right? Let's say again, this is 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Meaning, why do I have to add that the Yayin first fell into Greason? Just say the spoon stirred wine, or stirred wine and Basar or something, right? Why do the Ramah need an extra step? Says the Taz, in this case, the Kedera is Muteris. Why? Because the... Because the Greason is a Nat Deheterah. The Greason is a Nat Deheterah. The Kedera is a not by not to hetera. And therefore the Kedera is Muteris. The Diokad Ramah is that the Kedera is a sewer. Why? Because he has to put Greason further up on the line. The Diokad Ramah is that the Kedera is a sewer. Right? Because he says it's only mutter if you have Greason before the kaf. To make it a not bar not deterra beforehand. But if you don't have Greason for the kaf, if the kaf is treif, then it would be usher. But why? Isn't it still not bar not deterra? Kaf to Greason, Greason to kaf to Greason, and Greason to Kedera.
So who says that just because it's pugnum means it's not bar not deterra?
Everyone agrees with that. Everyone agrees with that. That's called not Barnat Deitera. It's a good question, but Levi said everyone agrees with that. So there are two ways to defend the Ramah. What's the two ways to defend the Ramah? The Nekudas HaKesef and the Chavos Das. What does the Nekudas HaKesef say? The Nekudas HaKesef says this is a not. The Kedera is a not Barnat. So why is the Kedera still Usser? Exactly, because l'chachilu we're machra not barnat. L'chachila, we are machmir on not barnat. Right? In Simon Sadihei, Ashkenazim. So, you can't use the kedera l'chachila. That's what Kudus HaKesef. Why is this the Kudus HaKesef not so pashut? A lot of Rechonim disagree with him. Why is he not so pashut? He says, Einachnami, the Taz was right, it's an apar not, but Ashkenazim are machbar and apar not l'chachila. So therefore, l'chachila, you can't use the pot. Why is that not so pashut when he says l'chachila, you can't use the pot?
Because maybe this is already b'diavad now that you've traced up.
Because maybe this is already b'diavad. You're going to trafe up your pot. What are you going to do with your pot? Right?
It's not like milk. Who,
it's not like l'chachila, don't eat the pasta with cheese. But say you should eat the pasta without cheese. That's l'chachila. But l'chachila, don't use your pot. That's not l'chachila, it's b'diavad. You can't use your pot. Right? So, right? Many achronim argue and say this is mutter because it's already b'diavad. What do you mean l'chachila don't use your pot? If you can't use your pot, that's an isser b'diavad. Then you're losing a pot. Oh, yeah, the kasher pot. Okay, but it's a tirchah and a kasher pot. So therefore, they're not so convinced. So the Chavos Das has a different shot. Chesky, how do I know this Chavos Das? Because it was in the first Pesachei Chuvin Simen Sadihei. What does the Chavos Das say then? Put two and two together.
I'm still following the arrows.
So okay, sorry. Remember, at 1 o'clock, I stirred treif wine with the kaf.
Yeah.
Then at 2 o'clock, I stirred grisim in a pot. The pot's an upper, not the teiratah, says it's mutter. Right. But the Ramaz Meduyik, it's not mutter. Because when he wanted it to be mutter, he had to put in another step.
Right.
So why the Ramaz think it's usher? So the Shach says, paka, not upper, not the teirah, it's usher l'chachila.
Right.
But that's tricky, because now you're losing a pot. How can you call that l'chachila? So what does the Chavos Das say?
Same time.
He says exactly, remember, at the same time, it only counts as one step. He says the Kedera, the Greason is a knot, and the Kedera is also a knot, because the same time only counts as one step. And therefore, Kaf the Kedera is one step. Oh, into the bus, or it's a second step, but that's not right on the surah, that's not going to help us. Right? And therefore, that's a knot. And basar is not par not de isura. So that's why the Rambam thinks this case is asur. You know, the Taz thinks simultaneous counts as two steps. The Chavos Das thinks simultaneous counts as one step.
What's simultaneous? Because both the taser and the spoon?
The kaf into the grease into the kadera is all at once. You stir the grease in that are in the kadera. The kaf is treif. It gives a mutter taste of the grisim, which gives a mutter taste of the kadera. That's all happening at once. This grisim and the kadera stirring with the kaf. It doesn't first go to the grisim and then into the kadera. Right? It all happens at once. It's not a classic not right now. First you put the dug in, and then the musser in the tray, then you put the dug in the tray.
So there's getting yayin and grisim taste at the
same moment. Or rather, I'd say it's the kaf, the taste from the kaf goes, the taste of the yayin goes into the grisim and the kadera at the same time. Exactly. Therefore, it's like first the wine goes to the grisim, then the wine goes to the kedera. Now, that's not true. It's all at the same time. Right? It's all at 2 o'clock. So this is three ways of analyzing this case. The Taz says, not for not the tera mutter. Shach says, not for not the tera usr. And the Chavzah says, this is not a not for not. This is a not rishon. L'maisa, most poskim paskin like the Chavos Das on this. The standard understanding is like the Chavos Das, that this is called a not rishon, and that's what we're machmir. Most folks are not so convinced by the shach that this should be also l'chachilo, because what do you mean l'chachilo? L'chachilo is eat your pasta without cheeks. This is l'chachilo, don't use your pot. That's a hard l'chachilo. Especially since stam pots in the days there I'm over Harris. So what do you mean? Throw it out. Sadi Hey, it was in the Pisrei Tshuva. I think it was on a close between the Chavos Das and... one second, we have this, right? About two simultaneous steps. There was more than one machlokas in that first Pisrei Tshuva. It was a good Pisrei Tshuva. This is the second machlok in that Pisrei Tshuva, which is called B'shas Bishel, right? B'shas Bishel means simultaneously. I am Chavos Das, who said that doesn't count as two steps. But in the Beis Ephraim, that's what I thought it was. The Beis Ephraim says it does count as two steps, and the Taz obviously agrees with the Beis Ephraim.
And that Lashma,
I mean, I'm sure the Beis Ephraim quoted the Taz, I just don't have a Beis Ephraim on me.
It sounds like the Shach also, probably.
The Shach also seems to agree with the Beis Ephraim, right? Because he calls it two steps, right? Now, you could complicate it more, meaning I don't want to confuse you more, so close your ears. But there are some achronim who say, no, it counts as two steps for a different reason, because Yayin the Kaf now counts as a step retroactively once it becomes Heter. And then maybe that this has nothing to do with the Beis Ephraim and the Chavos Das. But okay, I'm not going to go there. That's already that's already making it too complex.
The Chavos Das doesn't explicitly address this case?
No, the Chavos Das does. Chavos Das does explicitly address this case. The question is, when the Taz and the Shach assumed it was two steps, were they like the Beis Ephraim? Or could they have been saying that I'm like the Chavos Das, but not exactly? Okay, but we're not going there.
So, back up to Tzadi Hei, so if we're going to take the Chavos Das here, we should take the Chavos Das there also. And say, anytime that it's, Shah's special that left, we're only going to count that as one.
Right, and the mice, I think we said there that, you know, it's hard to be Mako. You know, I'm not saying it's Bavadai, but at least we're Machra like the Schavos Das. Right. I mean, that's what I said, that all is being equal, you have to be Machra like the Schavos Das. So here, all is being equal, you have to be Machra like the Schavos Das. Okay, the Ramah just ends with an easy case. If there's a treif with no taste at all, like the pot you cook honey in, and there are bee legs in the honey, but the bee legs have no taste because they're like bones, they have no flesh on them. Lo nesra yura, they're clean called kayot. That was this case. This is the case of the Ramah. Right, you have something which is hard and has no taste and just never had a taste. Bee legs never had a taste because they don't have flesh on them. They're all hard, they're all bone. And you cook them in a pot and they don't melt in. Right, remember, you strain them out, they don't melt in. So therefore they give no taste to the pot and it's pashut that it's no problem. It's not even Tom Lefgan, they just gave no taste to the pot because they just sat there and minded their own business and no taste came out of them. Sif Gimel. Okay, Sif Gimel is, yes, thank you. This is based on a whole complicated sugya, but thankfully, there's a whole complicated sugya about this, but the Psak Halacha is actually simple. What's the problem of Sif Gimel? What if something would have given a good taste to your mixture, but since there's too much salt, it gives a bad taste? Or would have given a bad taste, but since you put in pepper, it gives a good taste? Like, you can imagine things like that. Like, I'm just making something up from scratch. You know, it's hard to make. It's much harder to make up things from scratch than you think. I don't know. Anchovies get mixed into my vegetable soup. So let's say anchovies give a bad taste to vegetable soup, but I have too much pepper in my vegetable soup, and then the anchovies give a good taste to it because they like negate the pepper somehow. Or anchovies really give a good taste to vegetable soup, but they're salty, and I already have too much salt in my soup. And now for the anchovies, is much worse, and they give a bad taste. So what if they would have given a good taste, but because of the spices give a bad taste? Or they would have given a bad taste because of the spices, they give a good taste. Says the Mechaber, even if the Isser would not have been pogging by itself, it only pogging because there's something else there, Shemesaya, that helps it, or Merubin. Maybe is what it should have been. Probably Meduchin is just a toast sofer, and he didn't write the letters of Merubin so well. Like Isser fell into a pot that had too much salt or spices. If not for the salt and spices, it wouldn't have given a bad taste. But because of the salt and spices, it gave a bad taste. A filo achi mutter, that's still called lefgam. The Shas says likewise the opposite. What if it wouldn't have given a good taste if not for the salt and spices, and only because the salt and spices gives a good taste, then it's aser tam l'shvach. The principle is very simple. Is ba'asher hushan. You don't look at what would have happened if it had different spices. You look at the thing as it is in front of you. Whatever's in front of you, if the Isser gave it a good taste, usser. If the Isser gave it a bad taste, mutter. And you don't care what would have happened if it was spiced differently. So that, in the end, the Psak Halacha is very simple. Right? You don't have to theorize. You just look at what you have in front of you.
We wouldn't have thought to look at each individual item in the pot. Is it pogim, this pogim? Overall, is it pogim or not?
Yeah, that's what we do. We just look, this pot, I don't care what's in the pot. Right now, did the anchovies make it better or worse? And that's it. We don't look at what would have happened if we only had some of this pot without the salt.
What if it's something on the anchovies? Like the anchovies themselves, when you made them extra salty because you like...
That's an interesting question. What if you... I have no idea if anchovies are naturally salty or not. But that's a great question. What if you have, you don't need anchovies, you have beef jerky, treif beef jerky. I assume they add a lot of salt after they make a beef jerky, right? Probably tastes very salty. Anyone ever eat kosher beef jerky?
Sure.
Is it very salty?
Yeah, pretty salty.
Not so much?
Yeah, it's like biltong.
Is biltong salty?
It's very peppery.
Very peppery. Okay, great, whatever. Hold it, they eat biltong in England also?
I thought it was South
Africa.
They imported it out in America. Some guys are importing it to America.
I've never heard of this.
They started importing it to
America. Yes.
Delicious.
The answer is yes. Okay.
They started importing it to America.
Good for them.
I wasn't the need until I came here, but they didn't say anything.
There's a few things I think they should import from South Africa to America. Like the sense of Jewish community and the traditionalism.
Shabbos Project.
And the Shabbos Project.
They tried to import the Shabbos Project.
Yeah, I know they tried, but, you know, okay.
Some success.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, but that's an interesting question. What if you had, let's say, very salty treif meat, and that fell into my stew, and it ruined the taste of the stew because of the salt? That would still be usser. Because even though the salt ruined the taste of my soup, the meat did not ruin the taste of my soup. That would still be usser. Right? So that's clear. Meaning, if the isser happens to have salt, then you look at just the isser, not the salt. Although, you would probably have to look at what the effect of the isser is on the pot plus the salt. Meaning, what's the effect of the isser on the pot with the salt? Because by the time the isser fell, the salt also fell. But still, even though when it comes to the heter, you look at the heter as a package deal, I don't think you're going to look at the isser as a package deal. You have to look at just the isser part, whether it had a salutary effect or a detrimental effect. Good question. Okay, Dalet. Now, Dalet gets into a big machlokas rishonim. The Gemara says, you can buy honey from the goyim, even though they cook the honey. By the way, Agav, let me just point out a public service announcement. I heard this from, I don't know, trustworthy sources. Modern-day honey is not actually cooked when they purify and strain it. Someone told me that, I read someplace in one of the kosher organizations, that the contemporary honey you buy nowadays is actually cooked less than the ounce of lettuce bowl. Mm. Nafgamina, don't think that you can put it into a kli rishon on Shabbos. Because it's actually cooked less than the atzel lettuce bowl. So, don't put honey into a kli rishon on Shabbos. Because honey nowadays is often cooked less than the atzel lettuce bowl.
Does that often happen?
What?
To put honey into a kli rishon?
No. But even into a kli sheni, maybe you shouldn't put honey on Shabbos, right? Now, I don't know how often people put honey into a kli sheni, because usually people put honey into tea, and people who make tea make it in a kli shlishi. But if you would have tea made of sense or something in a klisheni, then okay, some people say they should be macher not to put honey into a klisheni because honey's not really cooked. Okay, but in those days, they had less sophisticated industrial processes. They just boiled up the honey on the stove and yatzolefo. So the problem is, the goyim boiled the honey in their treif pots. So, Gemara wrote a Zoraz. Mutter to buy goyish honey?
Yes.
Why? Because, in three words?
No
sintam lefgam. Don't say more. The Gemara wanted to know, how about oil on the Goyim? Can you buy oil from the Goyim? So, there's a whole history here. It was Mutter, then it became Usser, then it became Mutter again. But one of the theories as to why they thought it should be Usser is because they boiled the oil in Treif Kehillah also. They purify the oil. I think when you make oil, I know they have like cold squeeze, very expensive olive oil, but most oils, like you cook them, that's helps in the processing.
It makes the molecules come out faster, so it saves a lot of time and money.
Great. Okay, so that's why very expensive is cold pressed, right? But stam oil the goyim cooked. That's what at least Shmuel, I think, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel said. Now here's the question. So, but in the end, we can buy the oil of the goyim. Why? In three words.
No
sin tam lifgam. Great. So the question is, what did the Gemara mean by this? What did the Gemara mean by nosing tam lefgam? So, there are two ways to understand this Gemara. The Rambam's way, and everyone else's way. Right? The Gemara says, Dvash shel goyim, and shemen shel goyim, is mutter because nosing tam lefgam. What does that mean? Why is it no sin tam lefgam? How do you know? Maybe it's no sin tam leshvach. So what are the two ways of understanding this Gemara?
Old pots.
Their pots are Einu ben Yomo, right? One way of understanding is Einu ben Yomo is no sin tam lefgam. Everyone knows Einu ben Yomo is no sin tam lefgam. That's the Gemara. Hold on a second. But how do you know their pots were Einu ben Yomo? Maybe their pots were ben Yomo. This is the makar of that rule. This is the makar of that rule. When I say this, there's actually another Gemara in Avodah Zarah that could also be taken as a makar, but this is the strongest makar. There's another Gemara also says, and if you cook in the pots of Goyim, it's mutter, because no sin tam lefgam. But that other Gemara
was talking about like when you had them in your house, so maybe it's just meant you kept them for 24 hours. This though, it's time you go. Yeah. Okay, ready? Let's go. That's Rov Rishonim. But that's an assumption, right? You probably heard this rule. Probably not even only for me. Stam Kein Lav Neyoman. Maybe you thought it was a Gemara someplace. Sort of sounds like a Gemara someplace, no? I bet a lot of people think that's a Gemara. Doesn't say that anywhere in Shas. What it does say in Shas is that you can buy the Tvash and the Shem and the Goyim because it's Nosen Tam Lufgam. That's all it says in Shas. And most Rishonim say, why would it be no Stam Lufgam? Must be because Eino Ben Yomo. But how do you know it's not Ben Yomo? Must be Stam Kli is Eino Ben Yomo. This is the Mokker. Okay, but the Rambam has a different shot. The Rambam doesn't think Stam Kli is Ben Yomo. The Rambam thinks that Stam Kli might be Ben Yomo. Maybe Stam Kli is Ben Yomo. Who says? What's the Rambam's shot?
Honey and meat doesn't taste good.
Exactly. After what's trafed by the Goyim? Remember, don't imagine all these things they make out of something. They make out of meat in factories with chemicals, etc. These are the good old days. What was trafed by the Goyim? The eggs? It didn't have many trafed eggs. The milk? It's an interesting question. What about the chalav akum, etc.? I don't know. It's a good question. I shouldn't have used that example. Saying the fruits, the vegetables, those are all kosher. What's the main thing that's trafed by the Goyim? Even to nowadays, what's the main thing that's trafed by the Goyim? The meat! Right? You go to the Goyim and they make you whatever, and I wouldn't eat it maybe because I don't know, but maybe it has no actual treif in it. Meat, the Goyim's actually treif, right? Not chumras, not sfeikos, not rov and chazaka. Like, the meat by the Goyim is actually treif because they don't shecht it. Zehu. Forget about the pork. You know, then certainly. So, says the Rambam, he says, what's the main treif thing that Goyim cook? They cook meat. So he says, it must be that Chazal did taste test and discovered that meat had a bad effect on oil and meat had a bad effect on honey. Maybe you can't buy vegetable soup from the Goyim because the vegetable soup maybe meat has a good effect on. But that's what he says. He says, Basar Pogame. B'shemen and Basar is Pogame Bidvash. That's the sheet of the Rambam.
Isn't this only how the Beis Yosef understands the Rambam, but the Rashi understands the Rambam as being with everybody else?
Okay, this is the Pashup shot in the Rambam.
Okay.
This is the Pashup shot in the Rambam.
Two, so.
Yeah, no, this is no Kobol shot in the Rambam. It's a Kobol that this is shot in the Rambam. So which of these Pshatim do we Paskin like? Not we, sorry. Which of these Pshatim does the Machaber Paskin like?
Not here,
right? You can buy shem and dvash from the goyim, because even if it's cooked, and the treif meat gives a bad taste to shem and it gives a bad taste to dvash. So it sounds like he passed like the Rambam. However, all the Nosi Kalim point out that in Simon Kof Kof Beis, he says, I will quote to you, Stam kli o goyim heim becheska she'inam bnei yoman. And then he adds, we're also in a bit yomon. In Lavdav Gagoyim, it just usually comes up with Goyim. With Jews, you can usually ask. But a Stam Kli of a Jew is also not. Meaning, he paskins both. The Mechaber, why does the Mechaber paskin both? Because even though only one of them is Mucher from Shas, I guess he thought that the Rambam was right to Mitzias. Right?
We've seen him do that before.
Right? The truth is that, that just to be fair. Right. The truth is that why would he paskin like both? There could be another reason. Because the Gemara says, what are you worried about? Are you worried about mixing in? That gives a bad taste. So that Gemara, right, someone quotes this Gemara. The Gemara says, are you worried about mixing in the dvash? Bad taste. It makes it spoil. Are you worried about mixing in by the shemen? Makes it spoil. What does mixing in mean? Mixing in could be mixing in wine. That's what Rashi said. Yain nesach. But other Rishonim say it means mixing in meat. So it could be that the Rambam had another makar. Lemaisa says the Mechaber. He paskins like this side. And he paskins like this side. Why would he paskin like both of them? So it could be he paskins like both of them because he just thinks the Rambam is right to see us.
What about that second Gemara we mentioned?
Or it could be because of that second Gemara, right? That might be that might be more likely because you think you'd need a mocker for this.
What's the Ryan that second?
Yeah, 1 second. I'll tell you the two Gemaras. In a second, if I can find them. The Gemara says about the Dvash, says, the Kalim Nosin Tam Lefgan. Right? The Mutter, and this is clearly talking about Shenis Bashlu Bekalim Shelahem. What about the Kalim? The Kalim are no problem. No Sitan Lefgam. The Gemara says the same thing about Shemen, right? That the Kalim is no problem, no Sitan Lefgam. But there's another line in the Gemara. It's the same Gemara. I didn't mean different Gemara, just different a few lines away. Im Shemei Ruve Misra Sari. If it's because you mix something in, that's not a problem. Because it'll be Lefgam. It'll be a bad taste. And likewise, the Gemara says, that's about Dvash. Okay. 1 second.
Shemin has worked this whole long thing about why it's winter then, right?
Yeah, but that's earlier. The Shemin is on Daf Lamed Vav. Here maybe it's not so pashut. Even Shemar King Pisharan. It is here someplace. Okay, you might have to. I'm not finding it now. Maybe it's hiding someplace, and I forgot where it was. But let's assume that it is here someplace. The Gemara says, okay, we'll have to find it. We'll have to find it later. Did I write down where it was? Okay, someone will find it for me while I'm talking. Anyway, there's Gemara also. There's a different line in the Gemara. Maybe. Now, the Rambam here is not mukrach, right? Because if we hold Stam Kli is Lav Ben Yomo, then there's no proof that Basar is Pogi. So maybe he just thought Rambam was correct Ben Tzios. Maybe he just tested and thought he was right. Or, based on the other line in the Gemara, what's the other line in the Gemara? If you're afraid you might mix it in, misra sari, it gets ruined. If you mix it in, it gets ruined. If you mix in what, it gets ruined? Said Rashi. If you mix in yayin nesech, it gets ruined. Says Rashi. Iaruve yayin. Yayin nesech is bad for it. But not everyone... Not everyone agrees that it's talking about Not everyone agrees it's talking about Yayin Nesach. The did you find that other Gemara we're looking for, meanwhile? No, okay, don't distract yourself. Okay, it's not clear in the Rambam. It's not clear in the Rambam. The Shach quotes, right? That from the Mavo Sha'arim, that it's talking about Basar. And the Ran says, at least by the Vash, that it's talking about Basar. Okay, so if it's referring to Basar and not Yayin. Okay, so we're not sure why the Mechaber Paskin like Tosfos Paskin like the Rambam in addition to Rov Rishonim. Maybe he just thought the Rambam was right with Tzias. He thought like Rov Rishonim, but thought the Rambam had a good point because he tested it and saw it was true. Or maybe he thought based on two lines of the Gar. He thought the Rov Rishonim were right in that the Kelim was Kestam Kelim Abnei Yoman. But the Rambam is writing that the mixture of Basar made a treif. And then he would say, well, then why didn't you say Stam Kelim Abnei Yoman? Maybe because there are other treif things they cook in their pots besides Basar, and therefore Stam Kelim Abnei Yoman. Lemaisa, though, the Mechaber goes both ways. How do we paskin? So there are two machlokos on the Mechaber. Number one says the Ramah. V'yesh Omrim, the Basar Einu Pogim Dvash Asmo. This is a kasha, right, that that the Beis Yosef asked, right, and it's in a lot of the later Rishonim. Says yeah.
I was confused by this question in general because there seems to be a conflation that. Okay.
You're going to say just because the honey makes the meat taste good, who says the meat makes the honey taste good?
Right, exactly. My honey would
taste good. They said we always cook meat with honey and it tastes good.
Right.
So what does that mean? So,
lechora,
there is some confusion here, right? What's the confusion here?
All the opponents seem to have that same, that's what they're most coming to be the fuke here, right? When you talk about this,
Mezogash
or whatever it's called.
Right, so it seems to be that, you're right, I was all confused. It must be what they meant by that question was that don't we always cook meat with the honey? And not only the meat tastes good, the honey also tastes good. Like when we cook meat with honey, we taste the honey and it also tastes good.
But it's still very different. I mean, if I was buying honey from God, so I want honey. So it could depend on different contexts. But for the most part, my honey, I don't want it to have a meaty taste. It would taste weird if I had it and it was meaty.
Maybe it would taste good.
Especially after
I think clearly, meaning if something has a good taste, but you don't always want to serve that dish, sometimes you want to serve another dish, that's still called Tam L'Shvach. The fact that it has a better taste, but sometimes you want the other kind of dish, doesn't make it Lefkat.
But it's the ratio that's the issue. If I were to have tons of pepper and a little bit of meat, it would taste horrible.
But Kol Shekein. If a lot of meat in a little honey makes the honey taste good, then a little meat in a lot of honey should also make it taste good. You're in the wrong direction.
But you want the honey to have the meat taste
good. Okay, I understand.
That would rather confuse.
Right. Chesky's confused. You cook meat with honey, maybe that's only because the honey makes the meat taste good. Who says the meat makes the honey taste good? But apparently, I'm adding in, they used to cook the meat with honey, and then the meat tasted good, and when they took the honey on their finger, that also tasted good. As a matter of fact, the honey tasted better after you cooked it with meat than beforehand.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, says the Ramah, Yesh Omer Debasar Ego Pogan Vash Atzvo Rak Mash Yehan Nasa Midvash. He says, maybe, so let's see, let's just summarize Halacha L'maisa. We have Basar Bidvash. The Mechaber says that's Pagam. But the Ramah says that's Shevach. The Ramah says, no, we all know meat makes honey taste good. So what did the Gemara mean when it said that meat
makes a honey taste bad. Must be they weren't talking about honey. They were talking about honey beer. Right? What's the English word for honey beer?
Mead.
M-E-A-D. Right? They were talking about honey mead. They weren't talking about honey. Honey mead is different. That's a drink. If you put mead in it, it doesn't taste good anymore. So, basar b'mashkedvash, everyone agrees is poge. Everyone agrees is poge mashkedvash. The question is, but did the Gemara also mean regular dvash? Pashim shat the Gemara meant regular dvash and it's poge. But the Ramah says, no, it couldn't have been. Hachosh machish. We know that it's mashpiach regular dvash. Must have been mashked dvash, honey meat. But dvash, it's mashpiach. Interestingly, he didn't want to say the Gemara meant because of nosin tam lefgam, because you have a whole cheshbon that the Gra, and really the Shach also applies, of how at one stage in history, they asser shemen of goyim because it was cooked in treif kelim, but they didn't asser honey of goyim, which was cooked in treif kelim. So why is the honey better than the shemen? It must be that meat gives a bad taste to honey. So therefore, meat has to give a bad taste to something, but maybe only honey drink. Okay, how about next case? How about meat in oil? So here, the Mechaber says, it's poke, like the Rambam. Who argues on the Mechaber? The Shach. The Shach says we reject the Rambam's shot in the Gemara. Shach says Sheva. He rejects the Rambam's shot in the Gemara. Rejects the Rambam's shot. Shach says we don't hold like the Rambam's shot. We hold there is never anything in the Gemara about meat giving a bad taste to Shemen. Why is Shemen mutter? Shemen's mutter because it's no sentai a stanky lane bin a yoman. But if you actually cook meat in your shemen or drop meat gravy in your shemen, it would give a good taste. And the like, so we are machmer on that. Continuing. Basar ocholav b'yayin havi lefgam u'mutter. The last line of the Ramah says, what about in wine? Obviously in kosher wine. This is not based on a Gemara. This is not based on the Gemara. This is just a case in the Rishonim, but where there was somehow basar and chalav that got cooked in wine. And they said, luckily you're okay, because basar and chalav give a begam taste to wine. So, therefore, says the Ramah, basar biyayin is begam. Okay, I think that makes sense. Most of us can imagine if we cook meat in our wine, it wouldn't end up tasting better. And, here I cheated. Basar and biyayin is begam. But what is chulv? So, the Pesachei Tshuva brings out a big machlokas. Did it mean to say basar or chilev gives a bad taste to wine? Or basar or chalav gives a bad taste to wine? What gives a bad taste to wine? Chalav or chilev?
Both.
Or both. Right? But that's not clear, right? He quotes that the Tosefa Shabbos in the Note of Yehuda says chilev gives a bad taste to wine. And the Prima Gadim says Chalav gives a bad taste of wine, but Chalav gives a good taste of wine. And he brings a diuk, which he says not such a good diuk. And then he quotes in the Sefer Beis Yehuda, who says they both give a bad taste to wine. And that's why they didn't write Nekudos in the Ramah. Not such a strong diuk. Maybe they didn't write Nekudos in the Ramah because they never wrote Nekudos in the Ramah. Although they could have written Chalav bit seire, chalav bit kamatz, which you have once in a while, but still they usually didn't, so it's not so clear. So here we have chalav biyayin is lefgam, but suffik what it is. And therefore, if you actually have treif milk gets mixed into wine, you're not sure if that's lefgam. If you actually have fat that gets mixed into wine, you're not sure if that's lefgam. Because you don't know if it's chalav or chalav. Halacha l'maisa, these things don't come up all the time, but l'maisa, the Aruch HaShulchan said, he's not comfortable paskening this. I mean, he didn't say those words. But he said, it's not clear how to pasken on this, whether it's chalav, chalav, or both. And therefore, l'maisa, this whole sif, we don't take too much out of it, because if you meat into honey, that's a machlokas. And not only is it a machlokas, Ramah and the says the Mechaber, yeah, says the Ramah Shvach.
But b'makom hefset meruba, the Rambam is willing to be maker like the Mechaber, but the Taz is not. Taz says even makom hefset meruba no room to be maker. So Mike said, if you have meat and honey, it's a big machlokas. If you have meat and oil, it's a big machlokas. If you have milk in wine, it's a big machlokas. If you have fat in wine, it's a big machlokas. There are very few things that are not machlokas, and therefore halacha lemaisa are hard to be makel based on the sif, because everything's a machlokas. Okay. So much for sif. Hey. Yes.
Does that come back to dilute or color wine with milk?
Apparently it was. We saw that in Simon Tzadi Zion, right?
And is that not right?
No, but that's kosher milk.
That's not right necessarily that it's shvach.
That's not right that it's shvach. Maybe they just put in a tiny drop to discolor it. They put in a tiny drop. Oh, that's interesting. Of course, if it was really pagam, then what would be the problem anyway? Well, maybe bitulus. It's clear they only put a tiny drop. They talk about it being less than a 60th. Right, so the truth is, who cares if it's pagam or shvach? It was less than a 60th either. Anyway, the question was just bitulus or chachila there. No one thought it tasted like anything. It didn't change the taste at all because it was less than a 60th. So therefore, it wasn't an issue of pagam or shvach. The issue would be if you put in more than a 60th, which is not the common practice. Okay. Kol k'derish ein abas yomo choshev tamal of gam ve'ein oseres. Right? Keep in mind that I already mentioned this. I'll mention it again. Sifim aleph through dalad do not come up a lot in Manan de Halacha Maisa. I've never paskin anything my entire life based on sifim aleph through dalad of this simon. However, Sif Hey, most of the Shailas that I paskin based on Sif Hey of the Simon, right? Sif Hey of the Simon is what's really Halacha L'maisa. And again, for the obvious reason that Sifim Aleph through Dalet, all of a sudden you have to make judgment calls about like every food we have nowadays and every other food that's a good taste or bad taste. It becomes very hard to be confident about that, except in very rare cases that would never happen. Except in really weird cases. Sif Hey, that's a rule. Right? You don't need to make judgments. It's just a rule. What's the rule? Any kibir, the top in Yomos, Tai gives a tam of gan. Zeu. The Eno Seris, great. And that's a Mefurish Gemara. Now, what does Bas Yoma mean? Bas Yoma means used that day. What are the two ways of interpreting that day?
Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. Or the same day. Right? If I say a day later, I might sometimes mean Monday, and then Tuesday is a day later, regardless of what time Monday, what time Tuesday. Well, just like a night passed, so it's a day later. Or sometimes I mean 24 hours later on the clock. I might mean different things.
Why should that be significant? It doesn't like go to sleep at night.
Uh-huh. Good question. So first let's mention, the truth is that if you just said Bas Yoma, use that day, just based on the words, what would you think? It means 24 hours passed, or just means it's a different day? It just sounds like a different day. On the other hand, Zev says, you could say whatever you want about the words, and it's very cute and nice, but we all know that it doesn't make a difference what day it is. The blias in the pot don't have circadian rhythms. Just a certain amount of time makes them stale. And 24 hours is 24 hours, right? What difference does it make? Like, why should it be that, you know, if it's December and you cook in the pot why should it be that if it's July and you cook in the pot at 7 a.m. and then the next morning you cook at 7 p.m. and then the next morning you cook at 5 a.m., 10 hours later, that's Ein Bas Ben Yoma, it's a new day, a whole night passed. But in December it would be Bas Yoma because it's not a different day. It doesn't really make much sense, right? 24 hours makes sense.
I also don't know why when I go to sleep at night or I pass through a night and I have, you know, tomorrow or bad stuff on my hand. So maybe there are forces working here that are beyond our...
Yeah, and furthermore, you have to have some time frame.
We're talking about
gum. So, like,
we're
not
bad.
Right. That's a pretty good time frame to give.
Okay.
Just taste it.
So, but Kensky, you realize that you're getting into a little trouble because we must shock. If you're dealing with the realm of the natural and physical, then you'll say, I know I have to wash my hands because at night when I'm under my blankets without clothing, I'll touch the private parts of my body.
Right.
But during the day, I have clothing and I don't touch the hidden parts of my body. That's very simple. Or because in the morning when I have a new day of davening, so I have to wash my hands first.
Right. Right?
And if you're going to be metaphysical and supernatural, you're going to say, there's a ruach ra at night. There are shadim at night. Right. For sure there's shadim at night. Both termos, kochai, so yar. All the shadim are at night. But it's not clear why the shadim should make the time look. I mean, maybe. Like,
maybe
who's,
don't like
who's
right.
to say?
I was wondering.
You think it's the shadim that make
no,
the time
no,
look down
no,
in the pot?
I mean, I
it
know.
Could be. The shadim do a lot of things.
I was wondering.
Oh, I'll give you a good raya. What's the good raya? If you peel an egg and you leave it all day long, nothing happens.
Right.
But if you leave it overnight, the shadim make it poisonous, and then you die if you eat it.
Right.
Right, except the corn to Rav Schechter.
Right.
My point is that we
were wondering a little if there was anyone who like turned into like a nice darkness badness.
Isn't that the sheet of Tosfos?
No, Tosfos doesn't say because of Ruach Ra.
He doesn't.
As a matter of fact, he probably shouldn't because Tosfos held like Rav Schechter and he didn't think they had Ruach Ra.
Did anybody explain this in that way, like night darkness?
Right. So I think people do explain it this way. I can't quote from the classical sources. Anyway, Lamaisa, this is where we're stuck. We're stuck between, but first let me tell you, meaning, if there's a machlokus, each side has to come from someplace logical.
Right.
No one came from Shaden. That's like bidyevin, what you use to explain yourself, right? Where did they each, like no one said, well, it's Mestaber this way because of the Ruach Ra. Right? That's clear. Where did they come from? They really came from common sense versus Diyuk HaLashon, right? Which is often where you get a machlokus Rishonim, meaning, why would both sides be valid? There are many reasons, but often it's because the words sound one way, but it's more logical the other way. So do you twist the words a little to be more commonsensical, or do you do something a little less commonsensical in order to fit the pshat of the words, right? That's a common cause of machlokes rishonim, you know, which is a very valid reason why they would argue, although there are other valid reasons. They could just argue about logic, or they could just argue about the linguistics.
Could we also say that just like we need a significant amount of time, and
okay.
Overnight's like a good way to know that
good.
Time has passed?
So, Bas Yoma. So, Rov Rishonim hold Me'es Le'es. Right? Or, as it's written in halachic literature, Me'es Le'es, meaning 24 hours on the clock. Which makes sense. That's a certain amount of time. However, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, right? Not any Rishonim to sneeze at, right? Really, the for Ashkenazim, they're the pillars of our Masorah, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, right? Right, we're living on the 18th floor, you know, but somewhere down there, on the, you know, 10th floor, the pillars that are holding up the rest of the building are Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, obviously, there was Judaism before Rishonim. Chazal, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, etc. Exactly, that's why they changed the Moshe at the last minute, right, I was about to say the pillars that hold up the whole building, but then I realized that, no, that's just because Talmidim of the Rav think that Judaism started with the Rishonim. The Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam walk into a shir room and Abayim and Rav don't. But the Rav didn't actually think that.
Interesting,
Diyuk. It is. It's not my Diyuk. I mean, the Diyuk has been made. The Diyuk is made, but really the reason for that Diyuk is not because he thought Judaism started with Rishonim. It's because Abaye and Rav are too exalted to walk into a shir room. The Rishonim he could talk to. He's not a Rishon, but he could talk to them. Okay, but anyway, that's my parshanut of the Rav. Let's get back to your idea. They say, called Linas Laila, and they say, Rabbi Tam says, if an Ein Raila Dover Zechel Dover, what's his Zechel Dover? His Zechler Dover is a phrase in Chazal. Anyone know what Linas Laila does halachically in some area of halacha? It doesn't do anything. What is. No, Ruach Ra.
Halacha.
What?
Is
what does it do? It makes it. No, sir. Right? Linas Laila makes it. No, sir. Now, that's not even a Zechler Dover. So what is that? But what's the Chazal's. Nickname they use sometimes for Nosar? Ibor Tzura. Right? The Gemara says, you have a meat of a carbon Pesach. If there's a psol in the basar, you burn it right away. If there's a psol in the dam and the bailim, then it's not able to become kosher, but it's not a chet of psol, so you can't burn it. So then it needs Ibor Tzura. You leave it until it becomes noser and burn it. Ibur tsura is a nickname of noser. Ibur tsura means it loses its form. It gets spoiled. So he says, Azek l'dervis, like Hazal call noser ibur tsura, implying that staying overnight is spoilage. That's his Zeich l'dover. It's not a Raya l'dover, because it's just a phrase. Zeich l'dover is ibur tsura. Again, the rule of noser is not even a Zeich l'dover. That's a rule of kosher. You have to eat them that day. But the Zeich l'dover, that the phrase of Chazal, is no Zeich l'dover from Chumash. This is Zeich l'dover from Chazal. Why do they nickname it ibur tsura? Why not just call it noser? Ibur tsura means spoilage. It must be that that staying overnight makes it get spoiled. Okay, that's a Zeich l'dover.
Isn't it spoilage that it's not noser?
What?
Isn't it spoiled that it's not
noser? Yes, that's why it's only a Zeich l'dover. Obviously, Rabbi Tam and the Ri are going to have a hard time defending themselves logically. After all, what difference does it make if a night passes? They even have something, the beginning of the night, the end of the night? We pass that if you're going to rely on Rashi or Rabbi Tam at all, it's only if the whole night passed. Like you cooked in the day and now it's the day. But why should the night make a difference? So here I can only think of two answers. One answer is what Chesky says. Is that it's the Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra makes the taste spoil. After all, we live in a very modern world. We're used to thinking of like Ruach Ra as some like metaphysical realm, which has nothing to do with the physical world. Like there's physics and there's metaphysics, and the metaphysics has nafkaminas for metaphysics, and the physics has nafkaminas for physics, and never the twain shall meet. But that's not so poshut in Chazal. Right? Chazal say that, you know, our garments get worn out because of the shadim pressing against them.
Sakana
is a physical effect, right? Sakana makes people physically die. So we see the if the metaphysical Ruach Ra, or let's say if the supernatural Ruach Ra on the onions that you peel and leave overnight can make the person who eats them die, which is a physical effect, then maybe that same supernatural Koach Hara of Laila can make Lios and Apat taste bad. Okay, it doesn't match our modern sensibilities, but maybe. Okay, that didn't bother Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. That's not my
Akiv. Forget our modern sensibilities. It doesn't match science.
Science is a modern sensibility. Science is a modern sensibility. That's what I meant. Anyway, it's not scientific. Okay, but maybe Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam weren't so scientific. Maybe it's Ruach Ra.
Is scientific?
Is scientific. It's just an approximation. Approximations are scientific. I mean, that's a Mishnah Menachos. The Mishnah Menachos asked this. They asked, is anything Chazal scientific? They always draw the lines like 40 sa for a mikvah. Why? That's how much a person could fit in. How do you know it's 40 sa? Maybe it's 39.9 sa. Maybe if we use gallons instead of sa, you would have made a round number of gallons, it would have been different. So the Mishnah Menachos already answers that. The answer, that's the nature of a legal system, kol midas chachamim kach, that of course you have to draw the line someplace and make that a rule. That is scientific, meaning a scientist would tell you, you ask a scientist, how fast can I drive and it'll be safe? He'll say, well, it actually depends on 18,000 different factors you have to put into a computer, but lamaisa, just make it 100 kilometers an hour and that's a good scientific answer, right? So even though it's not scientific, why 100 kilometers an hour? And if it was miles, we would say 60 miles an hour, which is not the same as 100 kilometers, just convenience in our... But the answer is, that's still good science, because science has to then make it practically applicable. So that doesn't bother me. Anyway, in this, Lemaisa, Linus, Lila, bottom line, you're going to go two ways, the Chesky way and the Ben way. The Chesky way is that it's because of the evil supernatural forces of the nighttime. Because we know there are evil supernatural forces of the nighttime, that's why you have to wash your hands in the morning, according to one interpretation. No, I take that back. That's why you have to wash your hands in the morning, according to the Pshat of the Gemara. Meaning there may be a Tzvedinim or something, but the Gemara does say that there's a Bas Melech, etc. That's one possibility. The other possibility is what Ben said, or what Ben was trying to say, I think, if I understand correctly, is that really there's nothing metaphysical about the night, and really there's nothing magical about the night. It's just that the Torah... Chazal learned in the Torah, and they found a remez in the Torah, they wanted to make it something practical. Really, probably 9 to 10 hours does the trick. But that's going to be hard for people to keep track of, so Chazal made a rule. If it's the next day, you know it's long enough to be spoiled. If it's not the next day, then be machmir. Maybe midrabana, maybe it's an approximation, right? That's where you were going. So there are two ways you could go. You could be supernatural about this and say it's the koach halayla, Or you could be rationalist about it and say, really, they meant it doesn't take around 24 hours. It just takes 10 hours. But in order to make a simple rule, we'll just say it has to be the next day, and that way you'll be on the safe side. Okay, which way you want to go is not going to affect your idea. That depends on your personal, philosophical orientation, which I'm not going to posken for you.
I was also thinking that there could be a similar thing. I hadn't thought of Ben's point, but within this one, I didn't really like the metaphysical either. But maybe there was something physical that actually is more likely to happen at night. I don't know whether it's because of temperature changes or because of not being able to see what goes on to the food. Like, maybe more bugs come out at night. Like, I didn't know exactly what it was. Now, the lob dock was something like so bad.
I totally agree with your desire to find such an explanation.
Right.
But I haven't been able to think of one.
Like, for example, with my Lulu, right? You worry that snakes might come because you didn't see them. Like,
no, I understand. That's a real thing. But here, the bleas are inside the pores of the pot. What exactly is going to come to them at night? You know, I don't know. Maybe I'll stay up all night and check in my kitchen and see what happens. Maybe I'm missing something. You know, I might as well wait till December 24th and then kill two experimental birds with one stone. I don't know. Okay, sorry, Ian. But again, I think the likelihood of those two experiments is about equal. So that's a famous machlokas Rishonim. How do we paskin? We paskin, although it'll be more complicated if Zion. Bekeven she'avar aleha me'eis la'eis. Sorry, v'nikus mas yomo kuzman shal shalso me'eis la'eis ha'akash is basbol la'isher. We paskin 24 hours. Bekeven she'avar aleha me'eis la'eis ha'akash is basbol la'isher. Einu nikus mas yomo v'n bishabok she'inu mas yomo atav shal mutter. Davi nosam ta'am lifgam. And we paskin like Rov Rishonim. Not like Rashi and Beinu Tam, probably. I mean, we paskin once already a big Rov Rishonim. Probably most Rishonim rejected Rashi and Beinu Tam just because the svara was so hard to swallow. Meaning, either way, the svara is dachuk. So we paskin like Rov Rishonim 24 hours. That's what we're used to. You know, we probably learned this in high school or something. Okay, we're in the middle of a sif, but the hour is already late, and it's already 2 days in a row, and, you know, I don't want to be accused of violating the Geneva Convention at work as well. So I will just give you a little extra homework, if I can, for next time. I would like you to learn Simen Kuf Chaf Beis, Se'if, Vav, and Zion, and the Pisrei Tshuva, Sif Katan, Aleph, and Hey. Okay, so what? In Tufan Beis, right. Mechaber, Bob, and Zayin, Pisrei Tshuva, Aleph, and Hey. We will combine that with the rest of Simen Kuf Gimel, Amir Tzashem, on Sunday.